This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
David Swanson joins me live in studio. His most recent book is Daybreak, Undoing the Imperial Presidency. He's online at davidswanson.org. And you are here to let us know of a new book, and I'm holding it right here in my hands, that will be available in just a few weeks. Titled War is a Lie. What's the book about?
Yeah, War is a Lie. You can go to warisalie.org or davidswanson.org, and it is available. You can ask your local indie bookstore to get it or get it at Amazon or Barnes & Noble, but I'm officially publishing it a week from today, Monday the 22nd, and asking everyone to please, whether you like Amazon.com or not, buy it there that day and make it number one instead of George W. Bush's book, because that will help my sales in through every outlet, including independent bookstores. It's something that worked very well with my previous book. But this, I think, is a better book. I'm a lot prouder and happier with this book. I think it has a long shelf life. I intend it as a guide to debunking war lies of all sorts immediately upon hearing them, building human understanding of the patterns of these lies that come back again and again, and breaking through this crazy idea that, you know, the Iraq war was somehow unique in that it was based on lies, or that it's not still based on lies.
And so give us some examples, some context of what you're talking about, because I think most Americans can say, oh, yeah, the Iraq war was based on lies. There's still some out there who think it was, you know, all based on true and those weapons were there somewhere, or he was developing weapons. And some people still believe that. I guess it depends on where you get your news. But give us some context of other examples that would make that not unique.
Well, there are easy to point to specific lies that are used to launch wars, you know, like the Lusitania or the Maine or the Gulf of Tonkin and so forth. The war in Korea, the war in Vietnam, every war that we've been through, including all of the little wars where we pretend we have to rescue some U.S. students who are in danger and so forth. It's always lies. But then the general themes that keep the war industry going and keep these wars going once they get started and the public turns against them and sees through the lies and they go on too long are lies as well. You look at the Washington Post a week or so ago and David Broder saying, you know, what would really save our economy would be to have a war on Iran. You know, that would help us out. When war is horrible for our economy, the military is the worst possible thing for our economy. And these wars that George W. Bush and now Barack Obama and Congress have put through have been incredibly damaging to our economy. And these analysts who say, well, you know, you can't blame the wars for the deficit just because they cost trillions of dollars. You know, it's the economy. No, the wars and the military spending have damaged the economy severely.
So now explain that, because there's a lot of people listening. Well, two quick thoughts. Number one, I'm always struck by the fact that a lot of conservative activists, whether Tea Party or not, who condemn the runaway spending on the part of the government never seem to question the military budget, which is far and away the biggest part of the budget. And yet they still insist that, you know, look elsewhere, earmarks, or these little things that are just nibbling around the edges and don't really address the real problem of overspending. They seem to be okay. Not all of them. I'm painting with a broad brush here. But most conservative activists tend to be okay with that kind of spending, with the belief that somehow there's some good to come out of that and that it is good for the economy.
Well, all of these candidates and activists who want to go after the deficit and the big evil is the deficit and we have to fix it but don't have a clue how and can't propose anything to remotely cover 1% of what they want to fix, there are a number of problems. One is they drag Social Security into it, which is separate and is doing fine. Thank you. Leave it the hell alone. Another is the tax cuts for billionaires on the off chance that someday they might meet someone who knows someone who met one of those billionaires. They want to keep those in place. And then there's the single biggest chunk, over half of every dollar of income tax goes to the military and the wars, and it is the single worst thing you can do in terms of the economy, never mind the other arguments against it. Just cutting taxes produces more jobs than putting money into the military, and putting money into education or infrastructure or green energy produces many more jobs and better paying jobs in some cases and has a broader impact on the economy than putting the money into the military. So, I mean, I gave this speech in Norfolk the other day, our greatest concentration of military jobs, half the economy there. And those are real jobs and real people have them. They have to be converted to nonviolent, to green energy jobs. The weapons factories have to make something useful instead. People have to have jobs. But those jobs are the least efficient thing we can do with the money, and we can't keep it up.
We really have developed, since World War II, a war economy, an economy that is based on waging war.
It is. It is. And it's a lie. And it's incredibly destructive. It promotes war. It creates an industry that demands war. The weapons have to be used up so you can build new ones. The weapons are built intentionally in dozens of congressional districts, little bits here and there to win that influence and keep the wars going through Congress. It's incredibly destructive. And yet the studies that economists produce show that it is the worst thing we can do with the money. We're going to have keep the wars going or have jobs, not both. We can't have both anymore.
We're talking with David Swanson. His new book, now available online, is War is a Lie. The website is warisalie.org, or you can check out davidswanson.org as well. It really is an unbelievable subject. I'm reminded of, when this country was founded, there was all this talk about standing armies. And not only out of concern that soldiers standing around on the street corner have, there's more likelihood that you have a problem with a military taking over your homes and pushing you around and lack of freedom. But there was also real concern that all this money was being poured into soldiers and the military. And now we have, and I go back to the scene that I return to so many times on this program, we have steadily recreated the very country we fought against. In so many respects, not apples to apples, one to one. It's not the same. This is the 21st century. But in so many respects, when you look at the concerns of the founding fathers and why people picked up their guns and their muskets and ran into the field in the 18th century, they were motivated by so many of the concerns that most Americans have today.
That's absolutely right. And we've concentrated power in the hands of one person in a way that they feared and denounced with that Declaration of Independence. And they intentionally created a legislature with all the power, with a weak executive. And that was a very smart move. And we've lost that. We've put all of that power in the hands of one person. And, today and tomorrow and the next day, all of my friends who protested Bush for 8 years are down there in Dallas protesting the opening of the Bush lie bury, as we call it, where they're burying the lies. And I used to talk to that crowd of people and say, the worst thing Bush is doing is establishing these precedents. His worst abuses are indirect. It's what the next guy's going to do with the powers he's creating and expanding on those. And it was all hypothetical, and everybody cheered. Yeah, tell it, brother. But now it's a real president. It's not hypothetical anymore. It's happening. The wars and the abuses and the crimes are continuing and being expanded.
Have you been really surprised by that? David, have you been really surprised by that? Because I know there were a lot of progressives on the left who voted Barack Obama in thinking, oh, thank goodness he will, in your words, undo the imperial presidency that all those crooks that came out of the Nixon White House that they created in the Bush White House. And yet we have seen just the opposite, despite the fact that the right tried to tell this country that Obama was the most liberal, crazy socialist president that we've ever had. And yet he has kept in place so many of these precedents that the Bush White House, a very arguably imperial presidency, actually created. He hasn't walked away from any of that stuff.
Oh, absolutely not. Expanded upon it and ordered and publicly instructed the Justice Department to go to enormous lengths to protect Bush and his henchmen from exposure of their crimes and from criminal or civil liability for their crimes. He is Bush's protector and thereby, of course, protecting himself as he continues. Yeah.
And he's modeled his presidency. I guess that's what I'm trying to get at. He has modeled his White House so much after so many of the things that the left decried and bemoaned about the Bush White House.
Indeed. He gave a speech not too many weeks back from the Oval Office about the wars in which he parroted Bush's lies, not just the ones at the end of his term, but the whole succession of them, starting with the weapons of mass destruction on through the whole series of lies. He owned them. We just went through Armistice Day, which we now call Veterans Day, the end of war, the end of World War I. And we were in that war less time then Obama and the current Congress have kept us in these wars, and yet we still call them Bush's wars. We're going to go on for years and years calling them Bush's wars, refusing to accept that who's in power now has to end them. And it's because we allowed what Bush did to become acceptable, right? He's not apologized. Apparently, you apologize to people. Bush has never apologized to anyone yet in his life. Instead, he's now permitted to go on TV and brag openly about his crimes. And if he can't travel abroad, you know, he has no interest in traveling abroad.
There was that moment in his recent interview with Matt Lauer about his book. And I want to get your general thoughts about his book. We're talking with David Swanson. His new book is War is a Lie, online at warisalie.org. There was that moment when Bush was talking about his book to Matt Lauer, I think it was,
sure,
from NBC. And he said, you know, why did you authorize the waterboarding torture? And he said, well, because the lawyer told me I could, basically. A lawyer said it was okay.
Right.
Which, you know, if you have the money or you're the president, you can hire a lawyer to tell you anything you want to. It reminded me so much of that moment from the Frost-Nixon interviews there and the final interview when they were in that guy's house. And Nixon says to him, well, it's not wrong if the president does it. That's what makes it right.
Right. Legal. If a president does it, it's not illegal, was what Nixon said. And Bush has said the same. Cheney has said the same. And Obama has essentially said the same. If Obama declares that we can now assassinate people, that's the law. That's not somebody's opinion or inclination. That's the law because the president announced it.
Yeah.
And that would have been crazy to imagine 10 years ago. But because we lived through the worsening and worsening of that idea under Bush, you know, anybody's defense lawyer in court is going to swear that what they did is acceptable. You can pay lawyers to say anything. Everything Hitler and Stalin did was legal.
Yeah.
But it's an illegitimate sort of law that's not put in place through a democratic representative process that respects universality and human rights. It's the law of the rulers rather than the rule of the
Definition, we find ourselves living in a kingdom and not in a free state or a democracy.
Yes.
And like I've said many times, just because you can roam around the extent to which you can on a limited budget, and just because you can choose from among 50 different brands of toothpaste, doesn't make you free.
Right. And you know, much as it may have been a nice thing to elect Obama instead of McCain, given these two rather painful choices, the argument that that was more important than anything else, that enforcing the rule of law, upholding the practice of congressional oversight and subpoena and impeachment, that everything else had to be shunted aside in order to focus on electing the slightly less evil and crazy and senile, perhaps, of the two candidates, it was clearly mistaken. And this remains the case today. The worst things that President Obama is doing are indirect, are passing greater powers on to everybody who's going to come after him. And nobody's facing up to that.
We're talking with David Swanson. The phone lines are open, 977-1070. We'll take a very quick break. And when we get back, we're going to grab our pitchforks. The new book is War is a Lie. David Swanson is live in studio, online at davidswanson.org. David, we recently had Ted Rall on this program, who is a well-known political cartoonist and columnist. And his recent book is The Anti-American Manifesto, in which he very baldly calls for armed violent revolution on the part of the left. And his argument is the right's already there. The right is already armed and they're already, you know, in the streets. And so you have like him on the left calling for violent revolution. You have the David West, new congressman down in Florida, or Alan West, I'm sorry. He had appointed a chief of staff who was a talk radio host down there. She has since pulled back the position. She's not going to be doing it because she was very active in the Tea Party down there and said, you know, if we're not going to get what we want by votes, we're going to get it by bullets. And she is very, very vicious remarks in the streets calling for a very violent revolution to go out and kill basically liberal politicians as a means of getting your policy enacted. So what are your thoughts about this? I mean, you know, this is really amazing what we're seeing happen here.
Well, I think that it is arguably and certainly should be criminal to say such things, to encourage murder on the airwaves, and war propaganda as well happens to be illegal under international treaties. Derek Jensen, also from the left this morning on the Democracy Now! Show, arguing that someone who attempted to blow up Adolf Hitler and missed him by a half an hour was doing the right thing and would have prevented World War II and so forth. And, you know, it's very debatable that such a thing would have prevented World War II. And it's very rare to have a complete cult of personality where you can take out one person and everything gets better. Clearly, if we were to have an assassination of a president, Bush, Obama, the next one, the results would be terrible for peace and justice and human rights and transparency and accountability in our government. We would not thereby take control of our representatives.
Yeah, yeah.
Ted Rahl and I published a long debate you can find online on violence and nonviolence, and I'm the nonviolence side, and we both agree, and I try to convince him, and I think he finally got the point that we agree that the problem is severe, that violence is out there and happening, that we are in a crisis, that we are in environmental collapse and imperial collapse, and something desperate is needed. But the case for violence as likely to be more effective enlarged than nonviolence is very, very weak. And he ignores all of the uses and successes of nonviolence in nations around the world over the past century or so.
Yeah. And I guess the concern, and this has been articulated by Noam Chomsky, the concern is, you see very genuine grievances on the part of the mass of people in America who are, have very real beefs and very real anger, and they're being turned on each other, which is my big problem with it. We saw that, as Chomsky points out, you saw the same thing in the 20s and 30s in Germany, and then the Nazi Party could come in and take advantage of that. And people are anxious and ready and willing to follow somebody who will validate their anger and give them a quick and dirty solution.
Yeah, well, the right-wing talking heads in the media are pointing people toward blacks and immigrants and Mexicans and gay people and each other. Ted Rahl is pointing people toward bankers. He wants you to go down to Wall Street and murder somebody and politicians and so forth. He's got his finger pointed at the people responsible. He just has the wrong approach. He wants to point a gun. And I don't think that's going to be effective, and neither does he. He just thinks it would be different from what we're doing now. He predicts in his book absolute disaster whether or not we do that. And I predict the possibility of saving not just this republic, but this ecosystem and this planet, if we take a different approach. But we got to hurry up.
No, the fix is so in. How do you unfix the fix? This collusion between government power and corporate power and the media, who very conveniently just look the other way because they benefit enormously from the status quo. It's that that triangle of power that is in place, and the fix is so in. And so against, the average working Joe and Josephine, who really aren't heard anymore. And I for one think that the far right and the far left are due their anger. Their anger is very correct. They should be angry.
Yeah. And there's not a country on this planet that John Stewart wouldn't be more miserable in. Nobody shuts up and obeys like Americans. If he doesn't like it here, he better not go anywhere else. I think if we were doing just what France is doing, we would have 15 million people in Washington. We would shut the place down nonviolently, and our whole country's fate wouldn't be relying on the 12 people willing to go in and shout in hearings and displease John Stewart. Yeah. We would have a real movement, and we're going to have to get that. We also are going to have to work at the local and state levels to seize power and to have a convention and rewrite our Constitution and take the federal government out of the hands of these people and these powers. But the idea that we can do it with guns is very, very dubious.
David Swanson, he's online at davidswanson.org. The new book is War is a Lie, and we'll have you back on again to talk more about that. David, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.